With me now is Walter Kenton, who for 17 years was very successful in the life insurance industry as a salesman, manager, and broker. He left the industry in 1980 and wrote a book about the sales techniques employed by him and others, which he now says are confusing and deceitful. He confesses that when he sold policies, he'd choose the policy that offered him the best commission, even when that policy was not the one best suited to his client's needs. His new book is called How Life Insurance Companies Rob You and What You Can Do About It. In it, he writes, quote, "You need life insurance, but the only way you can get it is from a reckless industry that brainwashes its agents and sends them out to get you." Kenton is a member of the Million Dollar Roundtable of the industry, and he is now director of estate planning for a small college in Virginia. His new book, How Life Insurance Companies Rob You, is published by Random House. Walter Kenton, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
You were very successful selling insurance and being a manager in insurance companies, but you left the industry in 1980. Why did you leave?
Well, my conscience was bothering me, you might say. I was the typical life insurance man for 17 years in that I followed my training to the letter. I was trained to sell, and the emphasis was put on cash value type insurance, and I did it, and I did it well, and I made large commissions. There was a large financial incentive there to sell that type of policy, and I was making a good living at it. It wasn't until later on that I began to question it myself as to whether or not term might be as good. But what happens is the insurance agent, you get to the point where you're making a lot of money selling this type of cash value insurance, and you ignore the facts. You may hear some criticism from other sources about whole life, and you just ignore it. You don't really investigate it. Well, I was faced with a challenge about 1979 or so by a CPA who said, prove to me that whole life insurance is really better. And I knew that this fellow was familiar with time value of money, and I said, okay, I'll do it. And I went back with a sincere hope that I could prove it, not only to him but to myself, so that I could continue justifying to myself selling this kind of product. And I worked at it very hard over a period of a couple of days, and I wasn't able to do it. Well, I did it for him because I used the techniques taught to me by the insurance company. That is, I took in the ledger statement. A ledger statement is merely a sheet that shows year by year how much cash value is being accumulated, and it compares it to the total premiums you've paid into the policy. And I could point out that after a number of years, the total cash value was equal to the premiums, and that therefore the policy was free. It wasn't costing him anything. And they bought this, and I went back thinking to myself, wow, I pulled it over again. But I knew in my heart, having proven it, that this is not correct, because it didn't take into consideration the time value of money. It was really not free. So then I began to investigate other whole life policies I sold and found out that term, 1 year renewable term, would have been better in every case. I became very disillusioned with what I was doing, and I knew that under no circumstances could I make a living selling just term insurance, at least the kind of money that I was making, because of the commission structure. And so I decided to leave the business, and then I decided it was very important to let the consumer know, because they have no one to turn to get an objective advice about life insurance.
Well, in a few minutes, I want to talk with you about the difference between those two kinds of policies and why, you know, choose one over the other. But let's talk a little bit about how one becomes a good salesman and what the sales techniques are in the life insurance industry. You started off, I guess, as most insurance salesmen do, in training sessions. What attitude are you told in those sessions you should have about life insurance? What were you told?
Well, of course, a positive attitude, and I have a positive attitude about life insurance. I'm not anti-life insurance at all, but all the emphasis was put on cash value insurance. And let me set up a hypothetical situation for you. A life insurance salesman in a home may discover that you need $100,000 of life insurance, and he or she may say, now, Mr. Jones, how much can you save a month? This is before he tells you what it's going to cost, okay? He's interested, or she's interested, in discovering how much you can put aside, because he has a chart that he can run his finger down. When you tell him I can afford $300 a month, and he runs his finger down to $300, and he runs it across to $100,000, and it shows how much cash value life insurance and term, if it's necessary, combined, that'll give $100,000. In other words, the maximum amount of cash value insurance. They're going to get all of the money out of you they can get out of you. even though you could have just as easily had bought that policy for maybe $20 a month, you see. Now, let's see here what the incentive is to the agent, if I may explore that. In this particular example, the agent has a financial incentive as well as a recognition incentive. The financial incentive is the commission. If he sells, I'll use myself as an example. I'm 40 years old. If I were to buy $100,000 of whole life or cash value insurance and the premium were $3,000, my commission on that is going to be anywhere from 55% to 100 and 102% in some cases, which I was getting when I was selling. But let's say for our illustration that it's only 60%. That's an $1,800 commission. But let's say that I could have bought $100,000 of one-year renewable term insurance and the premium was $300. That, by the way, is a little on the high side. I pay $142 for mine. But let's say it's $300 and the commission rate is 25%, which is normal. It could be even 50% or 20%. But let's say it's 25%. That's a $75 commission. So I have a choice. I can provide $100,000 of life insurance for my client. But on the one hand, I can make $75. On the other hand, I can make $1,800. I can find a lot of reasons to convince you that the $1,800 plan is better.
Why would your company be giving you more commission for that $1,800 plan than the other one?
Well, it's obvious that they are very anxious to sell cash value type policies because it puts more money in their pocket for investment purposes. It's pretty standard knowledge, I think, since the Federal Trade Commission report came out in 1979, that cash value life insurance is a very poor investment. Now we're starting to talk about oranges where we've been talking about apples, because life insurance is life insurance. But that's the problem with cash value insurance. It is a combination of decreasing term insurance, that is, the face amount of the risk portion of a whole life or a cash value policy continues to go down, but the savings element to it goes up, so that the total of these two always equal the face amount of the policy. The Federal Trade Commission report reviewed 150 life insurance companies in 1977 and showed an average return to consumers of 1.3%. That's not a very good investment.
You write that you were taught when you were selling, when you started to sell, and you were maybe calling people up or trying to get yourself invited over to sell them policies, that you should always assume consent. What does that mean, and how do you do it when you're a salesman?
You never ask someone if they want insurance. You assume that they want the insurance. When you finish going over your proposal, you never ask questions. You always give guidance. Let me give you some examples. If I had just finished filling out an application, I'm not going to say to you, sign here. I'm going to hand you a pen and say, would you please verify this information as being true? When I finish giving a proposal, I'm not going to say, now, what do you think, Mr. Jones? Would you like to have this plan? I'm going to pull out the application. And I'm going to say to you, now, Mr. Jones, when would you be available for a physical? What I'm telling you here is very important to understand. These are not techniques that I developed. These are techniques that I was taught. I mean, these were actually written in the textbooks that I trained with and that I trained my salesmen with.
Why don't you say sign here? Do people have an aversion to that?
People have an aversion to the word sign. Sign means contract. And everybody knows you don't sign anything without your attorney reviewing it. So we were told never to use the word sign. It's either verify the information or let me have your name here or something to that effect.
And how do you get the appointment to come over to someone's house? And why is it important for you to go there as opposed to having them come to your office?
It's a psychological advantage. They're not going to be on their toes. They're not going to be as defensive. If they're in their own home, they're relaxed. You always see, if they're married, both spouses together, because you don't want to make a pitch to one and have that person say, well, I want to talk this over with my spouse, because you just wasted your time and the chances of getting a sale are a lot less after they've had a chance to talk about it. You always try to get out of the house right then and there with the signed application with the first premium.
After you were successful selling insurance on a small scale, you started selling insurance to very wealthy people. How do you cultivate the wealthy clients? Do you join the clubs they belong to?
Definitely. Join the country clubs and just try to get in the different social circles and things of that sort. Rub shoulders with them as best you can, or just walk into successful businesses and introduce yourself if necessary. And that, I did a lot of that too. This was a good way to sell permanent life insurance because these people had money. And, you know, it's ironic that you'd think that these people who could afford good counseling, attorneys and CPAs, et cetera, would be the people most likely to be a little leery of cash value insurance. And yet these people that had money were probably the easiest ones to sell cash value insurance because they never really paid much attention. They had the money in the first place, and they just took your advice as a professional. They thought they were dealing with a professional. They didn't realize that this person had such a great financial incentive to sell cash value insurance.
Every profession has some stereotypes or traits associated with it. And the one that's associated with insurance is that, you know, whether it's your brother-in-law or your best friend or whoever, if they're an insurance broker, they're going to try to sell you. Do you think that that's true?
Oh, it's definitely true. I've been talking to people all across the country, and I'm always hearing stories from people that, well, gee, I just bought a $10,000 policy from my brother-in-law or from my employer's son or something like this. This is what they're trained to do. Every new agent that starts with a company is required. Let me verify. I can't say everyone, but all the ones I've had experience with, I've never heard of any that don't do this. They're required to come in with a list of 100 names of friends, relatives, acquaintances, whatever you want to call it. And these are the people they call on first to sell life insurance to. As a manager interested in making a dollar or two off what this fella makes, I know the purpose behind that because these people are going to trust him. They're going to buy because he's a friend, not because it's in their best interest. They're going to sell life insurance this way. It's going to help them meet their validation schedule, which every new agent has.
When you were selling to someone who was a friend or a relative, would you weigh your commission and their benefits differently than you would a stranger?
No, and let me explore that because I don't believe that the typical life insurance salesman is maliciously out there thinking, aha, I'm going to make this. He's doing what he's trained to do. So I don't really believe that there may be some malicious sales, but that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the industry has put so much emphasis on cash value insurance, which in my opinion is never needed. And if it were needed, a person could do much better buying 1-year term and investing the difference themselves, which is all whole life is. So the insurance salesman, not being a malicious person, he's doing only what he was trained to do. Everything, all his charts, everything is geared towards cash value insurance. He wants to make a living too. So the insurance company says, look, we'll hire you. We'll pay you $200 a week to start for a year, but you have to produce so much commission, not so much life insurance. It's commission. But so he may on some occasions be thinking, let's say, for example, he's got a certain schedule to meet on these commissions. And all of a sudden, 1 month, he's a little bit short. And he's talking to a client about $100,000 of life insurance. And if he sells term insurance, he won't meet his validation and he'll be terminated. But if he sells permanent insurance, he'll exceed that validation and he'll be able to keep his job. You better believe he's going to sell that permanent plan for all he's worth.
So you have to sell a certain amount in order to keep your job.
Sure. You have to make a certain amount of commission in order to keep your job. I'm talking about the new man starting out now. Once you've gotten past that, you're on straight commission. And, of course, you know, you have to make a certain amount of money to stay in the business, to make a living. And let me give you an example there. For a salesman, just to make $12,000 a year, if he sold insurance to just 40-year-olds, males, he'd have to sell $1 million worth of cash value life insurance. That's relatively attainable. But if he were to sell just term insurance to 40-year-old males and make $12,000, he'd have to sell $16 million worth of life insurance. He'd have to work 16 times harder to make the same amount of money.
Can you explain the difference between those two kinds of insurance?
Sure. Term insurance is similar to automobile insurance in that you pay a premium once a year, and if you die during that year, your beneficiary receives the face amount of the life insurance. It's really quite simple. That's one reason I recommend it so highly. It's easy to understand. It's easy to shop for. It's easy to make comparisons. Yes, the premium does go up slightly each year and continues to go up. Contrary to what insurance salesmen tell you, it doesn't run out. It can go all the way up to age 100. Many companies issue term insurance. It's renewable up to age 100. The cash value insurance, on the other hand, the premium may be, as we've discovered, 20 or 30 times higher than one-year renewable term insurance, but the premium stays level. It never goes up. The face amount, again, appears to remain level, but let's look at that a little more carefully, because the cash value type life insurance policy consists of two elements. As we mentioned earlier, it consists of decreasing term insurance and the increased savings, okay? So really, the cash value type policy becomes very expensive in later years, too, and here's why. Again, if I may use an example, so I try to make this as easy, simple as possible to follow, but I have to use numbers and see if you can follow me by using some round figures here. Let's assume you've had a $10,000 cash value life insurance policy for a number of years, and you've built up the savings element or the cash value in this policy so that it's now $6,000. You no longer have $10,000 worth of life insurance. You have $4,000 of life insurance. Because if you die, the insurance company is only going to pay your beneficiary $10,000, six of it's your own money. If you had quit the policy, you would have had $6,000 put in the bank, right? So you have $4,000 of risk insurance, we might say at this point. And what is it costing you? It's costing you whatever premium you may be paying, but it's also costing you the loss of interest that you could be earning on that $6,000 if you had it in the bank. So let's assume, again, using round figures for our illustration, that you could be earning 10%. Then the policy is costing you $600, that's the 10% of the cash value, that you're not getting, as well as the premium, for $4,000 worth of risk. In other words, you could take that cash value, put it in the bank, make $600 a year, add to that what you've been paying in premiums, and buy a $4,000 term insurance policy and be even. So what I'm pointing out here is that even cash value life insurance is very, very expensive in later years, more expensive than one-year renewable term insurance.
In your book, you discuss a lot of confusing and somewhat deceitful techniques you used as an insurance salesman to sell people what would give you the best commission. Do you have credibility problems now when you're talking about insurance, since for 17 years you were doing what was best for you, and now you're giving information that you say you hope will benefit the consumer, but it's hard sometimes to know how to interpret someone when for 17 years they made a living doing it a different way.
I can appreciate that, but two things. First, when I was making my living doing it a different way, as I mentioned, I wasn't doing it maliciously. I was doing what I was trained to do. Secondly, I have absolutely nothing to gain by advising the consumer to buy one-year renewable term insurance. I'll be paid maybe for the sales of the books, obviously. I should be compensated for the time it took me to sell the book, but I guarantee you I could have made a lot more money having stayed in the life insurance business and selling cash value insurance.
What reaction have you gotten from the life insurance industry so far?
Well, that's very interesting. I have a shadow. The life insurance industry has evidently found out my travel schedule, and they have a gentleman who is popping up in every city, and a lot of the TV and radio stations that I've been appearing on, he walks in the door and is ready to argue with me, and that's what they've been doing.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you for being here. Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Walter Kenton has been my guest, and his new book is called How Life Insurance Companies Rob You and What You Can Do About It. It's published by Random House. And he was very successful in the insurance industry for about 17 years. And, you know, there's one more thing I wanted to ask you. What on your best year, what did you make?
You're talking income?
Yeah. Is that a fair question? If it's not, it's your personal business.
Well, no,
I won't pry.
Let's say greater than $50,000.
Okay. He was in the life insurance industry for 17 years. The new book, again, is called How Life Insurance Companies Rob You. And it's published by Random House. And he now is the director of estate planning for a small college in Virginia.